This morning, our scripture lesson is 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have this prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A pollster got an earful one day. He was doing a survey on religious beliefs in America. So he stops a lady, gets her attention, and he said, "Ma'am, I'm taking a survey of religious beliefs in America. Would you please tell me what you believe about God?" And she very emphatically said, "I believe what my church believes." He said, "Okay. What does your church believe?" She said, "My church believes what I believe." He said, "Okay. Let me try something else. What do you and your church believe about God?" She assertively said, "My church and I believe the same thing." There are, however, those who know what they believe, and they write it down to remind them, to keep them on course. Dennis Lee Curtis did absolutely that. The only problem was he was arrested for stealing in Rapid City, South Dakota. And in his wallet, police found a piece of paper upon which he had written the following code of conduct. "I will not kill anyone unless I have to. I will take cash and food stamps, no checks. I will rob only at night. I will not wear a mask. I will not rob many marts or 7-Eleven stores. If I get chased by the cops on foot, I will get away. If chased by vehicle, I will not put the lives of innocent civilians in danger. I will rob only 7 months out of the year. I will enjoy robbing the rich to give to the poor." Curtis had a sense of morality, but it was flawed. And when the thief stood before the court, he was not judged by the standards he had set for himself. He was judged by the higher standards of the state. Our belief system is important. Our belief system is eternally important. And the source and the guidance of our belief system is crucial. Peter's second letter was written to help keep the church and the individual Christian on course, which is what the letters of the New Testament, the letters that became the New Testament, attempted to do. Second Peter specifically addresses the dangers of false teachers. Now, these false teachers were claiming that Jesus must not be coming back because it had been so long. And further, these false teachers were using the prophets, which was much of the Old Testament, which was the scripture of that time, to back their claims. And in Peter's response, he says that their message is what Jesus told them and showed them and validated and emphasized by the experience of himself, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then he goes on to say in 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21, part of our scripture lesson, the last part of it. So we have this prophetic message more fully confirmed. You do well to be attentive to this as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Folks, do you hear what Peter is saying? Peter is asserting that the Bible is not open to our interpreting it according to our liking. I didn't say it. 2 Peter said it. 2 Peter said the scripture is not open for us to interpret it the way we want to. Scripture is to be read. Scripture is to be studied in order to learn what the Bible means and then adjust our lives accordingly. Now, obviously, there are some rebuttals. John, you're supposed to be an educated man. Don't you realize that the writings that became scriptural were written in a time and a culture and a language completely different from our own? John, don't you realize that the writings that became scriptural were written long before any scientific discoveries or achievements of note had taken place? John, don't you realize that the writings that became scripture were written by human beings? John, even highly diligent people disagree on the meaning of passages, particularly when one Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic word can legitimately be translated three or four or five different ways, which would offer a different slant on the meaning. Yes, all of that is true. And God is a God of grace and a God of love. There is grace for the genuine attempt to correctly understand the scripture and land at an incorrect conclusion. Goodness knows, with so many denominations all claiming to base our doctrines on the Bible, we all have some things correct and we're mistaken on others. That being said, however, the Bible is not open to our dissecting it in order to suit our preferences. There is a vast difference between honest disagreement on the meaning and meaning of the Bible after genuine study, after genuine prayer, seeking to be led by the Holy Spirit, and attempting to degrade the authority on the Bible in relating to God. We need to remember that. Let me repeat it. Yes, we have disagreements on where we land, but there is a vast difference between you and I have each prayed diligently. You and I have each studied the Scripture. You and I each have sought the true meaning of the Scripture, and we land in different places. One of us is correct, one of us is not, and there's a grace of God. But there's a whole different process to where I don't like what the Bible says, and so I find some way to dissect it and say it don't apply to anymore. I'm not free to do the latter. I'm not free to take the Bible because I don't like what it says and try to change its meaning. Unfortunately, we live in a time when to base one's beliefs on the Bible is deemed to be ignorant, closed-minded, and/or backward. Even within certain segments of the church, there are proponents that declare if the Bible does not match with current social science and/or cultural practice and/or preference, you discard the Bible. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I had a debate with a fellow United Methodist pastor just the other day. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, instructed the Methodist preachers, read every single thing you can get your hands on, and the way you judge its validity and its worth is how it lines up with the Scripture. If it lines up with the Scripture, then you digest it and learn from it. If it opposes the Scripture, you toss it out. We are called to study the Bible in order to hear the message God conveys, as opposed to studying to limit its authority. Talk show host Larry King told of a childhood experience in Brooklyn, New York. He and his friends loved to play stickball. Now, I had to go and look up what stickball is. In case you don't know, it's baseball, only you use a broom handle and a rubber ball instead of a baseball bat and a baseball. I didn't know that. I had to Google it before I came in here this morning. But he said he and his friends loved to play stickball, but finding a makeshift field wasn't easy. Said many of the owners of vacant lots had signs that said, with no punctuation, private, no stickball playing allowed. But King and his friends were not deterred by these signs because they had their own interpretation. That's King's words. Their rendering was, private? Question mark. No! Exclamation mark. Stickball playing allowed. The same thing is done with the Bible every single day. The real question is not whose interpretation is true. The larger question is, do we believe the Bible really is God's inspired word? Because you see, if this book right here is not God's inspired word, it's just another piece of literature. And I can take this ancient piece of literature and I can go through it, and if I like what it says, I apply it to my life. If I don't like what it says, it's outdated, it's archaic, it happened in a different culture from my own, and I don't have to pay it a bit of attention because after all, it was written by men, it's just another ancient book. But if it is the inspired word of God, I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to pray over it, to study over it, to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to hear and follow and convey its message. Now the thing is, following its message is to our benefit. Peter was instructing the church that Jesus is indeed coming back. Yeah, he's taking longer than we expected, but he is coming back. And when that occurs, talking to the church of that time, he says, when that occurs, you want to be found faithful. When Jesus comes back, you want to be found faithful so that you can share in Christ's glory. And the only way you can do that is trust and obey. Hence, the Bible is for our benefit. Through it, God has taught us everything that is necessary for the salvation of our souls. And the thing that people so often forget is not only the salvation of our souls, but do you realize that if we lived what the Bible says, we wouldn't have any more church fights? If we lived what the Bible says, we wouldn't have family breakups? If we lived what the Bible said, we wouldn't be having all the junk we watch on Fox or CNN, whichever is your news channel of choice. If we followed what the Bible says, there wouldn't be any war. If we followed what the Bible says, there wouldn't be haves and have-nots. In other words, the Bible doesn't only teach the salvation of our souls. The Bible teaches how to relate in peace and harmony with each other. And thus we're able to live freer, more blessed, more fulfilling lives. There's a stereotype of us men. I don't know where it came from, but there is a stereotype. We men don't have any stereotypes of women, you know, but there's a stereotype that women have about us men. Y'all say that we never read directions. Y'all further say that if something has to be put together, we don't think we need those directions. We toss them to a side and we put it together ourselves because we don't need directions. Well, if Sally wants me to assemble something, first of all, she looks and says she can do it herself. But then secondly, if she wants me to assemble it, she knows first to leave me alone. Block me in a room by myself. Because you know what I'm going to do? First, I'm going to get out the directions. Before I pour anything out of the box, I'm going to get out the directions and I'm going to read them from cover to cover. I'm serious. I'm going to read the directions from cover to cover. Then I'm going to take everything out of the box one at a time. And I'm going to put screws, nuts, washers, bolts, according to their size, exactly as the directions tell me to. Then I'm going to go back and I'm going to scan the directions again. Then I'm going to go back and step by step, I'm going to follow each instruction. You see, I figure the people who designed and manufactured the item and wrote the instructions ought to know a little bit more than me about how it should be assembled. And at the risk of sounding a little bit haughty, I put things together once incorrectly. We only have one shot at life. For myself, I figure that the God who designed and created all that exists knows far more than I do. And though there are times I neither understand what God is doing, and I will confess to you, sometimes I don't like what I think God is doing. But I surmise that if God inspired persons to write the instruction manual, following the instructions in God's instruction manual will get me a whole lot closer to God than what I determine for myself. And I'll come a whole lot closer to the life that God intends than what I might determine myself. As Peter reminded us, and the voice in the cloud commanded, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for those that you inspired to write the words that became scripture. Thank you for its encouragement and its correction, for its guidance. Lord, you have taught us how to be assured of the salvation of our souls and how to get along and love each other in this life. Lord, we all need your wisdom to hear you through your scripture. Give us the heart and the soul and the mind to not bring our thoughts into your word, but for your word to become our thoughts. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always.